1.
We are launching into hour number two of the program. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those all on us at freetalklive.com. Now, last hour, toward the end of the hour, I got a little nervous because there were too many political names being dropped. About, you know, Dennis had called in from New Hampshire. He was talking about one of the elections that's going on here. And the purpose of him bringing it up was to talk about how he's torn. As somebody who is a voluntarist, somebody who doesn't believe in aggressing against his neighbors, as none of us here agree with aggressing against our neighbors, he was bringing it up to simply talk about how frustrated he is that he'd like to vote for somebody, but all of them have fundamental flaws. You know, one guy, and I prefer if you drop a name once and then just say that guy or something like that. That way we don't sound too political. Anyway, he was talking about how this one guy wants to throw him in a jail cell because he smokes marijuana. And then this other chick, you know, wants gun control. And there were just all kinds of negatives about these candidates. He was very frustrated in general about wanting to vote, but not being able to, because if you vote for somebody that wants to aggress against you, then what are you saying? I mean, what does that mean? If you're endorsing someone with your vote and they want to control your life, that is something that people like me can't do in good conscience.
Yeah.
And so it's very frustrating to them. And so I've come up with an idea. You know, it's just for fun. I don't really expect to get any answers out of these politicians, these people running for office. But one of the things about people when they run for office is they're a little bit more reachable. You can actually get them to talk to you because they want your vote, right?
Sure.
They're willing to pander to you to some extent and speak to you as though you are another human being in order to get you to vote for them. And of course, once they get into office, actually getting them on the phone with you is a whole other story.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, until they're
running for re-election.
Now, to be fair to the New Hampshire representatives, they are pretty easy to get on the phone. But that's
because they usually give their home telephone number.
Right. Yeah. But I'm talking about, you know, Senate, and then of course anything at a national level. So here's what I wrote to one of these candidates, your buddy Grant Gardner.
Yeah.
I wrote him this. I said, I've heard much good from the liberty activists in New Hampshire. I only have one question that needs to be answered, and then I'll be able to vote for you. Do you support CLX? I sort of used a little carrot hanging out the vote thing there, see what he would do. I said, do you support my right to personally secede and withdraw consent from the government? Looking forward to your response.
Has he responded?
He did. He said, Ian, thank you for your interest and your question. You certainly have the right to walk away from government intervention in your life. That's a big reason why government should be moved down to as local level as possible. And I certainly favor a much smaller government than we currently have on the federal, state, and local levels. How would you propose personal secession would work? Would you be free from government intervention on your property or on public property as well? How would laws protecting the rights of others apply to you? He says, I'm curious and be happy to talk more in detail, and he mentions where he'll be in person. So I wrote him back. I said, well, Grant, what has begun happening is that people are withdrawing their consent from the concept of government, and more are moving here to do this every month. We do not yet know the extent to which the people calling themselves government will continue to attempt to intervene in our property and our lives. We're going to determine if the people calling themselves government are actually men and women willing to do business at the threat of violence, or if their organization really is by the consent of the governed, as their own founding documents claim. My next question, therefore, is if you win your election, since you'll be swearing an oath to the government, will you support the actions of your government people if they imprison my non-cooperative friends and steal their cars and houses from them? So far, he has not written me back, and it's been coming up, I think, on a week since I originally sent that. I also sort of combined both of the emails that I wrote to him together into one email and asked it of the other candidate that Dennis mentioned earlier, and she hasn't gotten back to me either. So,
well, you know, you set it up beautifully, and you obviously had an idea of what his response might be. I hope you did, because if you didn't, that was a brilliant way to come back at it. But you have to do that. Anytime you ask these questions of any of the politicians, you have to anticipate what their answer is going to be. And I'm probably not saying anything new to any of the listeners out there, but it's a weird chess game. It's a rhetorical chess game you have to play. You say, okay, I'll say this, and then they're going to say this. And so what I've got to do is then place them in a very, very difficult position based on their first answer by asking them this, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I mean, if he writes me me back, I'll share it with you guys, and we'll see what he says. I don't really expect to hear from him again, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says that he'll support me, then he'll actually be representing my viewpoint, which is unusual, would be unusual in one of these government representatives, but I don't expect that to happen.
You know, I wonder about this personal secession thing. If I secede from the country, sort of on a nation state basis, if I create my own little nation there, am I allowed to leave it? Do I need to get a passport to come to the United States? Because, I mean, that's how they would normally view it.
Right.
And can they shoot on sight? Would somebody from my nation, namely me, be considered an invader?
All good questions.
If I decide to open carry in the state of New Hampshire, my state is completely inside of the state of New Hampshire, if I'm open carrying, am I then an armed invader?
Do you need an immigration attorney to go to the McDonald's drive-thru? I don't know.
These all sound like fun questions to ask the political candidates.
It doesn't sound like any of that. It sounds like confusing nonsense.
How come Seinfeld never dealt with stuff like that? How does this work? I don't know.
That's really good.
Let's go to your phone calls here and talk to Alex in New Hampshire. You are on Free Talk. Oh, wait, Alex, you're not in New Hampshire, are you, Alex?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Sorry about that. You're in the other new something, which isn't so great.
Hey, Alex.
All right. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
I was wondering, Ian, you always...
Oh.
This free society.
I always... What about, right? The free society? I'm sorry. You cut out for just a moment there.
You say we have to evolve.
I think that's a good term, yeah.
How do you suppose the first step would be? I was thinking about possibly taking the first step would be to set up arbitration courts. Do you agree with that? That should be the first step?
You mean for the people who are within that movement?
Yes.
I don't know what
the
first
step should be. I think you better solve fire service and roads before you go arbitration.
Yeah, it's hard to say I don't think there's any real first step, because in the movement, in the liberty movement, and in particularly in the market-based action realm, there are all kinds of people with different interests about what they think the first step should be. So, for instance, there was recently a meeting here in the Keene area of people that are interested in creating an alternative certification for driving. So that's obviously what they think the first step should be. People like you may believe that getting an alternative court set up would be a good idea, and I support it all. I mean, I would like to have an alternative bank. I'd like to have a bank that's not, you know, FDIC insured or in any way tied to the federal government. I think that'd be pretty important, to be able to actually have my assets protected by somebody that's just not going to roll over anytime someone calling themselves a government agent calls on the phone. So I think there are a lot of different areas that should be the first step. But yes, roads, fire protection, all that's pretty important too. So I think it just depends on what you think is important and, you know, what you're willing to work on and how much capital you have. And
just based on the variations on the division of labor, and I don't think you can really sort of direct it as long as people start working towards what they like.
I hope that answers your question. Any other thoughts?
I did have one other thought.
Yes, sir.
The whole idea of the free market depends that you have a less labor than resources, so that you always have a stream of people that need to work. But what happens if the world becomes so overpopulated that you now actually can't have jobs because you don't have enough resources to give those people jobs?
Okay, let me see if I've got this straight. Can you restate that? Because I think you're stating something that's a virtual impossibility based on...
What I'm stating is that you need to have a certain amount of resources and a certain amount of labor, and that's how people would get jobs. But if you have more labor than resources, then the people aren't going to get hired. And if they're not going to get hired...
Oh, I see what you're saying. excuse me. Well, you're probably familiar with Julian Simon's book, The Ultimate Resource. And there's another one called The Economy in Mind by Warren Brooks, who passed away a while back. But the resources are unlimited because man's ingenuity is what turns things into resources. So the ultimate resource is the human mind. So it really doesn't matter what the size of your labor pool is or what the size of your resource pool is. Based on economics, they will always be working in conjunction with one another, and resources will be created more and more often if you free up minds.
Great call. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. The idea being that the human mind, if it is free to create, can always create new wealth, and new wealth builds into new wealth, and the wealth pie always expands. there is no lack. More on the way. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
Welcome to the Shack Radio Minute, with thoughts and commentary on spirituality by the author and collaborators of the best-selling book, The Shack. Here's Paul Young, Brad Cummings, and Wayne Jacobson.
You know, the world is full of tragedy. Earthquakes and floods, tsunamis, what people call in insurance acts of God. Do you think it's really fair to tag him with all that tragedy?
Well, some people seem to think it is. It's really sad that God gets that kind of notoriety for earthquakes and hurricanes. But I think, to me, the things that speak most of God's work in creation is people who are giving themselves fully and freely to help make him known in the world. I know a gal in the Sudan, born with one leg, who over there opened an orphanage and suddenly had 80 kids to care for. That's God moving in the culture.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain and tragedy and difficulty out there, but to make God the author, I think, is to profoundly mischaracterize who he is.
He's certainly not the one orchestrating the tragedy. He's the one out to rescue us from all the places where this world is broken.
For more information on the New York Times best-selling book, The Shack, please visit theshackbook.com. What if there is a God who really loves you? For those who have ever wondered how God can exist in a world of unspeakable tragedy and sadness comes a riveting new novel that could change the way you think about God. The Shack, number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 7 weeks, is the most talked about book of the year. It's an uplifting, endearing, unconventional look at a man, his pain, and an unbelievable encounter. The Shack is available wherever books are sold.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Every week, thousands of violent crimes are committed. Don't let yourself become a statistic. Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Pepperspray.com has great news for outdoor enthusiasts. Now you can protect yourself against possible animal attacks with safe, humane animal repellents. Featuring Counter Assault Bear Deterrent and Mace Brand Animal Repellent. Enter radio in the coupon box and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PEPPERspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, so try it today. Store it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark. Once again, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those, including the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo, prove they listen to the show. Go to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what it's all about. That's shrine.freetalklive.com. In Chapter 6, Subterranean. Ted Galahad goes to hell. In hell, he finds nanobots, killbots, sexbots, supermodel clones, immortality, and a rocket ride off this pale blue dot. Go to freedom-engineering.com. That's freedom-engineering.com. All right, we're going to get back to your calls here, but I wanted to expand and expound a bit on the last question that we had a moment ago from Alex, who is very curious about the idea that, well, what if population increases so much that the resources just can't keep up with it? And, Garg, you had had touched on that, but I thought it deserved a little bit more discussion because it really... It's got a fallacy inherent in it, the idea that there is a lack of resources and...
There'd be an R of lack of resources.
Or that there... Is that R of lack?
Yeah.
That there are a lack of resources?
There is a lack of resources. Resources is plural, but the lack is singular.
Gotcha.
It's sort of like, is a lot, are lots.
Must have just...
Know?
Going
well,
around.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but excuse me. What's fascinating about it is it appears at first blush to be dynamic thinking when you look at that and you say, okay, limited resources, people growing, and what if it becomes so productive, nobody needs to work anymore, that sort of thing. Okay, on the resource thing, and I'm combining two things there. On the resource thing, as I mentioned before, the human mind is, as Julian Simon said, the ultimate resource. As Warren Brooks said in his book, The Economy in Mind.
It's where the ideas come from in how to utilize what nature has provided to us.
And until something, people often claim that we're using up our natural resources and so on and so forth. What they don't realize
is... That's what they teach you in government schools.
Yes, absolutely. That there are a limited number of natural resources. But what they don't understand is until human ingenuity was applied to those pieces of crap stuff out there in nature, they were not resources.
Oil was a nuisance.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was just the stuff that ruined land. Oil is a good sort of modern example, but what good was iron ore to people until they figured out how to use, iron in order to make weapons.
That's right.
Tools.
And there really is one human resource, a man, human, his mind, his physical capacity, his ability to exert himself. Those things are the resources which need to be freed up or, i.e., preserved. And the only way that you expand the living standards of any nation or peoples or whatever is by freeing up that resource to then create other resources for people. Now, if you've got an economy that has expanded so much and productivity has increased so much that you don't have to work as much for things, that's good. That's a good thing. And what will happen is you will have people's energies and so on applied to all sorts of other things.
Right.
It is limitless.
For some people, it'll be drinking beer.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it'll be drinking beer. But there are people that will apply it to all kinds of different things. Ian used an example, the break, that there are people out there that catalog every little thing that happened in the television show Lost.
Oh, I just find the internet.
Somewhere.
I find the internet to be the greatest example of how truly wealthy we really are. Yeah, we still have to go to work, and, there's still to be things that need to get done, but everybody has enough time, they have enough free time on their hands to where there's so much detail. I mean, Wikipedia is another great example of just an incredibly large volume of information that was all contributed, all by people who are not expecting to get any sort of financial return to do so. It was essentially was their hobby to fill in the blanks on this informational sort of setup, and there's just so much of that out there. People have all this free time. I think it's wonderful, and there'll just be more of that.
Taking that as an example, Ian, I think that's a great way to show the fallacies that the government has to do something. That, you could say, well, how could that get done if the government didn't get involved? How could you get information about it? I looked up C4 last night because I was watching C4 explosives, because I wanted to know what the C stood for. I was watching Mythbusters last night, and they always say, when in doubt, C4, that sort of thing. So my niece was, we were fascinated by it. We're checking it out. Now, if the government weren't there, what would I do? Well, somebody was interested in C4, and they looked it up, and they did some research, or they did that sort of work, and they put the information in there so I can get it. And the more we have free time, the more our lives will be enriched in this way. And obviously, I'm not saying anything that people don't know, but unfortunately,
we're
trained.
Well, sometimes you do have to say things that people know.
Well,
sometimes
that's it.
You do.
People think, like, well, if everything's done, then people – people need, I mean, we need
it's
to
never
do something.
Done.
It will never be done because people will have demands for their entertainment. New ideas will come around that will better people's lives. The whole point is to allow us to work less and enjoy life more. Ask somebody 500 years ago what they would have thought about the supposition that no one had to work anymore. They'd be like, oh, right, awesome, this is great. Yeah. But nowadays, like, well, if nobody has to work anymore, people will always work. They'll just work to do new things. Look at Nintendo. Multi-trillion dollar company over the years, and it's all for entertaining people, you know?
Yep.
So what happens is if you can free up that human resource, you turn natural things into resources, and man will always be doing it. The more you can do that, the better our lives are, the more we can concentrate on other things, and it constantly grows and lives get better.
Right, and just because we already have a resource that we know of, that we're already sort of exploiting, to use lack of a better term, but utilizing, that doesn't mean that that resource, that same resource, can't be utilized more efficiently.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure out, initially they figured out how to turn oil into something that you could actually do something valuable with, and then they figured out how to make oil more and more and more valuable, and you know, the devices that you put them into more efficient over time. And
there was a time when shale oil was, you know, considered to be just junk, useless, because, well, you know, it was too costly to get out of the ground. But now, shale oil, because of economics over time, inflation of the currency and that kind of thing, and how technological increases in the ability to drill for the shale oil, that's what Canada's using to some large extent. Now, it's not light sweet crude, which is, of course, the best kind of oil, but it's still a bit quite usable.
But even oil itself is pretty old school. I mean, it's pretty old, ancient technology compared to what we could be having. And this is where the issue comes in of having the mind and the human person being free in order to explore these new areas. Nuclear energy can do a hell of a lot more than oil or natural gas or any of these other resource-based energy ideas. But we can't do anything with it because people calling themselves government have stepped in and said no more nuclear facilities, none can be built, and there haven't. I don't think there's been one built since the 70s. So but that technology has been developed in other places around the world to the point where I read recently that there was some sort of neighborhood nuclear power plant that's very, very small that Hitachi built or something like that, and they're talking about putting that in Japan. So clearly the rest of the world, you know, some of the rest of the world's okay with this nuclear idea, and they understand that they can get tremendous energy from very little resources.
One of the things that people are largely concerned with is the waste that comes off these plants, and it's, you know, it lasts a long time, it's radioactive for a long time.
But how are we going to do with that?
How are we going to learn to get rid of it if we don't have a motivation?
We can't even try.
So
that's the number one factor.
I'm sure they've gotten better at storing it than they were in 1973 or whatever.
There will be someone that'll figure out how to use that off-putting. They'll take that.
Well, that's what they did with the waste from refining oil was plastic.
Turn it into plastic. Exactly. So as long as humans are free to use their minds on these resources, the wealth pie will continue to expand. But if government stands in the way and says, oh, whoa, hold on there, then we go nowhere fast, and we have to use up all this other crap. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lay's Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com today.
Is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Gar.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us, including the wiki over 1,700 pages created by listeners like you. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com and get interactive for free, of course. That's wiki, W-I-K-I, .freetalklive.com.
Next time you've got a meeting that perhaps you would like to be there in front of the client, try WebEx for free. WebEx allows the client to view your desktop remotely, so you can do a little PowerPoint presentation, move your little cursor around, that kind of thing. All you have to do is go to WebEx.com, enter promo code 600 for your free trial of WebEx. It's WebEx.com, and the promo code 600 will allow you to get your free trial, and you can try for they have free webcams, too, so that you can be seen by these people.
Very cool. 800-259-9231, to your phone calls. To Dave in Athens, listening to WAIS. Hello, Dave. Dave in Athens. Go. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How would you feel about city-states, like sovereign city-states?
Oh, you got a word state in there.
Well, I mean, I don't like the idea of government because I don't want to aggress against my neighbor. I don't think it's right to aggress against your neighbor. But I certainly support the idea of decentralization. So I'd prefer.
I see some advantages.
I would prefer, if I have to choose between governments, I'd rather have a local government than a state or federal government. So yeah, the idea of a more localized government is a good idea because you know who those people are. You know where they live.
I think the ancient Greeks had city-states.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
If I remember correct. I'll do the research.
Thank you, Dave, for the call tonight.
One of the things I was thinking about the city-state situation is the sort of the difference in regulations. If you're going to have city-states, then they're going to be able to rule themselves, and some of them are going to come up with more regulations than others in all kinds of different arenas. They're going to say that in ceiling fans, they have to turn right instead of left, and you know, the blades have to be a certain length. You know, whatever. Toilets must flush, no more than 1.3 gallons. Some will say up to, 5 gallons, whatever.
Yeah, they can only go so far with that and have people want to do business there still.
Understood, but some of them are going to do it anyway. And Vermont is an excellent example of a place where they're just going to do it anyway. So
good for Vermont.
One of the advantage of the Free State Project, if New Hampshire decides to secede, well, we will
politically
secede. They'll still be the advantages of all of, there'll be less regulations, so all the regulations for the United States would sort of apply. It'd be silly for New Hampshire to try to get regulations beyond what the regulations are essentially nationally.
Well, that doesn't seem like likely.
Standpoint.
I mean, it doesn't seem likely if you can get politically people to understand the idea and the benefits of secession. I don't see why they would all of a sudden after that decide to start regulating heavier, because you'd have to basically elect liberty-minded people in order to get something like that to even occur at a political level. So to see that turn around after that.
I was just playing some mental games with the idea of city-states, that's all.
All right, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. We continue with, let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. You are on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
There's a bureaucratic mess that's going to give some bureaucrats a little job security because they get to sort it all out with all the Texas birth certificates. A lot of people were born in Texas to midwives, and some of these midwives got caught writing fake birth certificates for people that really were born in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And now, hold it, if you got a Texas birth certificate that says you were born to a midwife and you weren't born in a hospital, how do we know you weren't really born in Mexico?
Yep.
Okay?
What's
now,
happening to people?
Maybe some of them really will be proven to have been born in Mexico. And the other issue is some
politicians... How do you prove that?
I don't know, but some of the politicians are now arguing that even if you're... They're trying to deliberately misinterpret the 14th Amendment's citizenship clause, which says all persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States, comma, and of the state wherein they reside, period. Now, they're trying to say, but they had to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, and those people were illegal aliens. Well, if they weren't subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, try telling that to the Border Patrol when they go to arrest them and deport them. But anyway, having pointed that out, there's two extremes, a good scenario, first a bad scenario, and a good scenario on the extremes. And that is the title to your house is questioned, because you bought the house from the rightful owner, but we take a look at the deed, and hey, it was notarized by Joe Schmo, who got one of those birth certificates, and he wasn't really a U.S. citizen, therefore he wasn't eligible to hold the office of notary public.
What a nightmare.
I'm coming up with this one, but there's another one. Hold it. Charlie was born in the United States, but he was born to an illegal alien, you see, because his mother had a green card, a permanent resident card, but it was fraudulently obtained because she claimed that she was the spouse of a United States citizen, and the justice of the peace who solemnized the marriage wasn't eligible to hold that office. Therefore, the marriage was null and void because it was solemnized by somebody that wasn't eligible. Therefore, Charlie was not a United States citizen because he was born to an illegal alien, and therefore, he wasn't eligible to be the sheriff. And therefore, the defendant who is accused of murdering a law enforcement officer... Yeah, but he wasn't a law enforcement officer. He wasn't eligible to be a sheriff because even though he was born in the United States, he was born to an illegal alien because the marriage of that mother to that father was solemnized by a justice of the peace who was really born in Mexico.
Did you guys follow all that?
I'm completely baffled.
Yeah, I think what Tom's trying to get at here is there could be some really interesting ramifications. Thanks, Tom, for the call.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's done a lot more thinking about it than we have. 800-259-9231. So the government, so as my understanding of that was that the government has decided that certain birth certificates down there in Texas are no longer valid, and that could mean all kinds of just chaotic things happening
in question. Might be
I felt like I was taking a walk through Byzantium there. That was amazing.
Well, the thing
and
is,
it's so
is
rough.
That's what happens when you let government get involved in things like that. In fact, it does make this sort of wonderland sort of situation where the playing cards come alive and say, "Off with their head!" I mean, look, who are you to tell this person that they aren't legal and therefore that everything that they've done is not valid? What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
There's no such thing as illegal people.
Right. But people believe that there is, and this is yet
another illegal.
Reason.
What part of illegal don't you understand? Well, it's illegal until it's inconvenient for you, pal.
Yeah. Just another reason, it seems to me, to get the hell out of this federal government. I mean, it just causes nothing but problems. The whole idea is a bad one, and it's time it ended. So let's continue with your calls about what you want. Dave in Montana, you are on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, Uncle Sam's grown rotten, kind of.
It was rotten from the beginning.
You're right.
What do you call that deal with the birth certificates will just make us all have to show birth certificates. People don't understand that, man.
And that's what they're working
That's what they're
for.
Starting to do. They want everybody to have a passport when they come back to the country, and in order to get a passport, you have to have a birth certificate.
It's crazy. They're playing both sides of the fence. That's all just for control. And one of the prime examples of the control on the resources is hemp, cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
The
yep.
plant's got 25,000 uses. It makes plastic that's biodegradable and doesn't allow our bodies to recognize it as the plastic molecule our body recognizes as estrogen or something. Or
I don't know about that, but I do know that you're right, that hemp is incredibly valuable as a crop, and because of government intervention.
The most nutritional food, and they're worried about feeding people and stuff, and you're not allowed to grow the most nutritional food known to mankind. It doesn't make no sense at all. We could
it's
have
tragic.
People working.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. But somebody needed to be protected. Somebody needed their industry protected. They had some buddies in government, and they went and they outlawed hemp back in the 30s. Great call, Dave, as always. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. And so people are prevented from being able to develop that resource with their minds by a bunch of violent men and women calling themselves government. The idea is it's over. Let's move on. Let's evolve. It's Free Talk Live.
As many of you know, I put on a little extra weight with the baby. Not much, 10 or 15 pounds, but my pants don't fit right anymore. Some of them are darn hard to button. Now, I'm not a real good dieter. I cut back for a day or two, and then I break down and end up binging. My exercise schedule's been pretty lax, too. So I needed another solution. Well, I heard about a product called Dex C20. I contacted them. I've been taking the product for about 10 days now, and I've lost 2 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a whole bunch, but I haven't done anything else. No dieting and no exercise outside of my normal activity. Most weight loss supplements make me mean and crazy. I can't take them. I'm too sensitive to the stimulants. Not Dex C20. It's all natural and has none of the stimulants. You can find it at most major drugstores like Walgreens, CVS, or GNC. Go and pick up a bottle of Dex C20 in the gold box today and start losing weight the easy way. Dex C20.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TebowTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TebowTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TebowTech Essentials Package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TebowTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TebowTech.com. That's TebowTech.com.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer Formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and reduces emissions. Average improvement in fuel economy typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811. Or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secret of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com. Or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Gard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. And if you like the show and want to help support Free Talk Live, then you can learn how to promote Free Talk Live by going to promote.freetalklive.com. There's a whole bunch of different ways that you can, at a very low cost or free, help Free Talk Live get into more people's ear canals and spread the message of freedom and liberty as far and as wide as possible. Go to promote.freetalklive.com to learn how. Though apparently some people don't appreciate the brand of liberty that I am promoting on this program, and we started the show out with an email about one particular listener who's very upset at the non-compliant types like myself who advocate just don't comply with the system, just say no to government, and eventually something is going to change. And I'll just go ahead and continue his email here, Mark, since
you want
I have
to
it up
okay.
in front of me here. So he started by critiquing, and he says that he wants to hit back and hit hard against people like me. He says, of course, non-compliant anarcho-type libertarians think because they don't want government, then that means everybody wants the same. No, that's not what we think. I think there are a lot of people out there that want government, and I think they should be able to have as much of it as they want. Just leave me alone. Though voter turnout's fallen, it's been hovering at about 60% for the past two general elections, and the last time I took a math class, 60% still a majority. Well, sir, that's just an argumentum ad populum, an appeal to popularity. Just because a bunch of people participate doesn't make that system in any way inherently right. There's still advocating aggression against their neighbors, and that doesn't persuade me to join up with them. Anyway, he says, but the non-compliant anarcho-libertarians say the reason the majority of the electorate still want government is that they know no better. Yes, that's because anarcho-type libertarians are the only ones with intellect and knowledge. Libertarians and others often accuse liberals for being arrogant and assuming that they know better, yet many libertarians suffer from the same kind of arrogance. Now, I can see where he's coming from on that particular critique, but if I'm wrong about not wanting to aggress against my neighbor, because that's the primary principle that guides my belief system. Yeah. That is what it all is based off of, that if I think something is a good idea, you know, giving to charity or helping somebody that needs help or, you know, some sort of project that I want to get into, if I think that something is a good idea, I will not aggress against my neighbors in order to get them to participate with their labor or to participate with their funds. I will persuade. I will go, you know, door to door. I'll send out mailers. I'll appear on television and radio, and I'll talk about my ideas, and I'll spread my ideas that way, but I will never force my neighbor at the threat of violence to do anything to help me with my program. So if you can explain to me exactly how it is that I'm wrong about that, how it is that aggressing against one's neighbors is a good idea and something that's just wonderful to do, please, by all means, do explain that. But otherwise, I don't have any problem looking down my nose at people that want to aggress against their neighbors. And I mean the ones that absolutely want it, not the ones that are kind of in the dark. Because most people are in the dark, right? Like most people, they don't even realize
that
exactly.
It's aggression.
They don't realize that it's aggression, and that's what the ignorance is. It's just that they're ignorant of the gun in the room, and then once you show the gun in the room to people, they usually back off. They're frightened by the fact that they would have ever even supported such a situation.
Well, the impression I get from this email is not that. You know, that there's certainly some attacks on people that non-compliant anarcho types is what he calls them, but.
Oh yeah,
it's sort of a lack of acknowledgement. He says here that they're snooty, and you know that they have a tendency to look down their noses at people and that kind of thing. And I think that I can feel that. I don't if only from you, not from the types around here in Keene, New Hampshire that I deal with on a regular basis, but just sort of the better than thou. And I think that this is lashing back against that. I think that there's a lot of hyperbole in what he's saying, but
yeah, well, I could understand that if you are somebody who has come to accept, who understands that you advocate the aggression against your neighbor, that you would feel bad if somebody looked down their nose at you. And that's essentially what he's saying here, is that he advocates aggression against one's neighbor, and he's upset
that
I would look down my nose at something like that.
Don't you think that somebody could get involved in politics and advocate less aggression against their neighbor, like steps towards, less aggression, things like that?
I understand that viewpoint. But the fact is, as long as you're advocating aggression against your neighbor, I will oppose you until the point at which you turn around and you support freedom. So it's not that I hate them. It's not that I wouldn't associate with them. I talk to the minarchists. I am friendly with them, and I want them to come my direction. I want them to come to the understanding that non-cooperation is the best way to achieve liberty. They don't agree with that, and that's fine, and they're free to go pursue their little political realm. But to get upset at me because I'm over here doing what I think is right, there's a real attitude there, I think. So he's looking down his nose at me saying, well, why don't you come over here and help us? We're trying to reduce the aggression over here, and you're just not helping at all. That's the impression I'm getting from this. But let me continue. He says anybody that doesn't fit in with their perspective of libertarianism is either a heretic or an enemy of liberty. No, not fully. You're not 100% an enemy of liberty. You're just an enemy of liberty as far as you oppose liberty. That's all. If you oppose liberty on 90, if you are in favor of liberty on 99% of the issues, as Dennis was talking about this, some political candidate that was really good on the free market, like, great, he got the free market. Well, all except for the whole drug thing. So he didn't agree with the free market in drugs because he wants to put drug users in a jail cell. Is he an enemy of liberty on that one issue? Yes, he is. And until he comes around to understanding that, he will be opposed vociferously on that issue. And I think that's fine, because that's part of social ostracism. Look, hey, I'll help you where, I'm willing to help you out on the issues in which you are supporting freedom. No problem. And I'll be friendly with you about it. I'm not going to be mean to you. Some of them are really mean towards the minarchists. And I don't agree with taking that position, which is why I'm friendly toward, the cops. We went on a ride-along with Lieutenant Maxfield here in Keene, had a great conversation with him, and we're moving those people in our direction, very slowly moving the people that have accepted the state and have accepted the system in our direction. I think that's progress, and I think it's a good thing. I don't think there's anything negative at all about what we're doing, but yet this guy has interpreted it all as being negative from his viewpoint. He continues. Oh, Gard, go ahead.
No, it's just interesting because it comes back to this loggerhead situation. I think rhetorically you're doing your bit that in a way contributes to the arguments of the people who are the minarchists, because you're constantly talking about the benefits of no government. You're talking, and we were just discussing how productivity increases when you get rid of government. You allow human resources to interact in a social forum,
sure,
rather than a government forum, and that's what betters people's lives. So in a way, even if you're not participating in going and trying to, you know, call the representatives or voting or whatever, what you say, I think, and I try to do the same thing on my show, what you say helps set up a framework within which other people can be attracted to some of these ideas. And whether they go as far as you or as far as these other folks, if they're minarchists, or if they're just classical liberals in a purely libertarian sense, they should say, I don't know if they should, but I would if I were them, say, well, you know what, there's a place for that argumentation, and it might attract more people to my point of view who were never even interested in this because it's such an engaging argument, and if they don't go fully towards Ian, they'll come towards me.
I think that's an open-minded view to look at this, but somebody like him, I get the impression that all they see is the loss. All they see is the people that were at one time involved in their political system and are now dropping out, and they don't see those new people coming in that you're talking about. I think that you're right. I think that there are people that listen to this show and they hear me and Mark go back and forth on these issues, and they'll side with Mark. They'll say, I'm not ready to go that far yet, but I do like the idea of much, much, much smaller government, so I'll move to New Hampshire and, you know, get active in those areas. Right. And like I've said before, when Dennis has been on the phone and in other cases, please, if you think you can make it happen in the political system, I wish you the best of luck. I want you to have success. Really, I do. Because I like the idea of setting those people free that will never take the effort to do anything themselves. Because out there, there are a whole bunch of people that just sort of live life by default, and whatever the government says, you know, they'll go ahead and jump through those hoops. If it's regulating their business, okay, fine, you know, I really want to open this bar, so I have to get the liquor license. Mm-hmm. And they go and they jump through all those hoops just because that's what they think they have to do. So if the political system can have success at lightening the load on those people, I'm all in favor of it. And I do wish them the best of luck. But if they want to get upset at me because I don't want to go and sit around the state house and testify and beg to have those things changed, then that's their problem. And they need to get over it and focus on what they want. If what they want is to change the political system, they're not going to get that by bitching and moaning about what the non-cooperative activists
are
doing.
Here's a spin on this. Let's say you're in a concentration camp, right? And
which is the possibility,
yeah,
here, right?
I mean, I'll get to it after if you want to continue.
Oh, yeah, I do. I want to hear about this concentration camp.
Okay, alrighty.
All right, so Guard's going to come up with a concentration camp related question, which is inevitably where, you know, there's only, as far as I'm concerned, there's only two possible outcomes here. We either end up in a concentration camp or we end up with our freedom. Now, I don't believe that the former
I'll
is
take
going
just
to,
a smaller government here in New Hampshire.
Yeah. But inevitably, I think that's where it's going to go. And we'll see what happens. I predict freedom. More on the way. Hour 3 coming up. Pre-talk live.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid. It is private. It owes no one. It cannot go bankrupt. And it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.